Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
Our past teachings, the past series, it was winning the battle in your mind. And then two weeks ago was the last time that we were here. We talked about where sin comes from. So we talked about those things, and that's important that if you can, go back and listen to them. You can find them on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But it's very important that you listen to it because many people battle in their minds, and that's why many people don't obtain victory, because they don't know how to fight with their minds. So later on, we're going to get into a little bit more detail as far as that goes, and how do we actually fight? How do we use scripture? Because I know we talked about it, but you know, we're human and we forget. And we talked about strongholds and what are strongholds. And you see it mostly in people that grew up in poverty. They grow up and God blesses them, and they still have the mentality of being in poverty. So they want to save every penny because that's how they grew up. So today we're going to talk about something a little different. And I was praying all day, and I don't mean to keep you here long. I know I say that every Wednesday, but let's hope that today the Lord does a miracle and we actually get here on time. Can you say amen? All right. So Daniel chapter 3, you got it? I'm going to give you a quick overview of the story, and then we're going to read some particular specific verses. Long story short, the people of God have been taken captive to Babylon by this king named Nebuchadnezzar. And they've been taken captive, and within those people there are three young men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been taken captive, and these are three Jewish young men that are taken captive. And at some point, this king decides that he's going to build a big statue of gold. And the reason he's building that is because he wants everybody, at the sound of the trumpet, at the sound of the tambourines, at the sound of the horns, for everybody to bow down and worship. And that's where we start in this story. And we go to verse chapter 3, and we go to verse 16. These young men, they don't bow down before the statue of gold. And so what ends up happening is some of the people, some of the officials, they see that and they run to the king and they say, King Nebuchadnezzar, there are three Jewish men that will not bow down to the statue. And this wasn't something that was voluntarily, if you wanted to. This was something that you had to do because the king had a decree. He said, everybody must bow down and worship at the sound of the music. Otherwise, you will be thrown into the blazing furnace, into the fiery furnace. In other words, it was a big hole. And what it was is it was full of flames. There was fire there. And if you didn't worship, you would be thrown in there. So these three young men refused to do what everybody else was doing. And that's where we start off at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Why are they responding that way? Because the king asked them, is this true that you don't want to bow down before the statue that I have constructed, that I have erected? You don't want to worship it? And so they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. It's very interesting that they would answer a king, someone who could kill them in an instant that way. Many people are afraid when they're asked, are you Christian? Are you one of those Christians that go to church? Well, my parents go. There's no boldness in the way that you speak. There's no boldness in your answers. But what did these three young men have that they are so bold and full of courage and full of faith that they decide to answer this king who could kill them in an instant this way? O Nebuchadnezzar, not even O your majesty, O king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. What did these three young men have that we lack today in society, that we lack in the faith today? Today we live in a society where you get participation trophies. You were part of the soccer team, although you got last place, you got a trophy. You know what? You didn't score a single goal all year. You didn't hit the ball a single time. You got struck out every single time you went up to the plate. Guess what? You get a trophy. You get a trophy. Everybody believes they're in an episode of Oprah Winfrey. You get a little medallion. You get recognition. You get some sort of award just for participating. And what ends up happening is that whether we realize it or not, we begin to kind of become a little easygoing with everything that's happening around us. And so that's gotten so far that it's gotten within the church now that we believe just because one day we raised our hands and we accepted Jesus into our lives, and or we repented or we recommitted our lives to Jesus, or because we went to the front and we prayed the sinner's prayer and we cried a little bit and somebody gave us a hug and said congratulations and we read the Bible and we were excited, we believe that just because we did that one small action that now everything else is owed to us. We believe that God owes us something. And God, let me tell you, my friend, God does not owe us a single thing. If God decided to never answer one of your prayers, that does not stop him from being God. But what ends up happening is we can make fun of the participation trophies all we want, but the truth of the matter is that at some point in our hearts, in our spirit, we believe that God owes us something because he's supposed to be good, because Jesus is all powerful, but he's all loving and he forgives us. So I can live the way that I want. I can live in promiscuity. I can do drugs. I can smoke, drink alcohol. I can cuss. I can be a homosexual and everything's going to be okay because God is all loving. And that's not the truth. And that's the reason why we have gotten to a place now in the churches, in youth groups, where there is no substance, there is no power, there is no reality of who God is. When you take a step back and you survey most of the youth groups, and I do this from time to time because obviously I'm a youth pastor, so I want to know how everybody else is doing. What can I learn from other people? What am I missing? What are other people talking about? When I take a step back and I survey and I think about these youth groups and I think about other ministries and other churches, I come to find out that there is no substance and no word, but they are full of entertainment. They're full of games and food and all of this entertainment that doesn't change anybody. Then at the very end, if there is some time, let's talk about Jesus. I want to tell you guys before we go that Jesus loves you and he died for you on the cross. And he died in this world so that you could live with him for eternity. Let's pray and bow your heads. And that's it. There's no substance. And why is that? The reality is because as a result, the enemy has slowly but surely started to work against people, coming against the boldness of people. Do you know what it means to be bold? To be courageous? He has started to work against that to the point that now people become ashamed to tell others that they're Christians. I'm just not the best Christian. Why not? Well, you know, I prayed one time and God didn't answer. And so why did you stop praying? And what has now happened has, you see it now in a lot of churches and a lot of youth groups and most churches and most worship songs now, instead of speaking and singing about who God is, and the characteristics and the deity of Jesus, and what can really change people, it becomes now a self-experience. It's a selfish experience. You analyze these songs, and they're all about how the person who wrote it felt at the time, about what they... And I have nothing against songs of declaration, but I've analyzed... I was listening to one the other day, and it said, in this room, I feel like something's about to happen. There's the glory of God that's about to come and break open. And the glory, and it talks about something that's about to happen, that's going to happen. But then you watch the video and nothing ever happened. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because number one, people are not full of scripture anymore. People are full of experience. It is important that you read scripture, because it is by scripture that you get discernment. So back to where I was heading with this is, why do we not see people that are bold in faith anymore? The reason being is because we believe that God owes us something and God doesn't owe us anything. And the Bible tells us these three young men, they respond this way. They said, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And what has happened now that in life, the Bible says it and Jesus said it, in this world, you will have many tribulations. But be of great cheer, I have overcome the world. There's a promise of God. There's a promise of Jesus in Scripture. So why is it that when we are facing problems, when we are facing frustrations and doubts, why is it so easy for us to give up? The reason being, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, but one of the reasons is because we don't truly believe that God is who He says He is. The response of these three young men was the following. They said, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had faith that their God would deliver them. They had faith that their God would save them. If you were in front of the king in this moment, and the king said, I'm throwing you into a fiery furnace, a big hole that's full of fire, what would your response be? Well, no, hold on, think about it. You got to think about it. Are you sure you want to do that? Oh, you don't want to mess with the child of God? You don't know. Even if you do, I'm sure that my God, who I serve, will deliver me. And the second part of the response, he says, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, but if not, and that's where I want to focus on tonight. He says, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. There is a great difference in the faith of these three young men than the faith that most Christians have and most young Christians have. Although, even if God does not deliver us, we will not worship your gods. Let me ask you a question. What is that one thing that you've been praying for? What is that one thing that you've been hoping for in your life? Oh, I hope I marry this person. I hope I get this job. Oh, I hope we get this truck. I hope we get this house. I hope this happens. This is what we've been praying for. And I've been asking God, and I know God's going to do it. But what if God, tonight when you got home, Jesus showed up and says, I'm not giving you that. What would your response be? Because when we pray, many times we come to the presence of God praying with the attitude of, give me because you owe me something. And again, I repeat, Jesus, God does not owe us a single thing. He doesn't have to answer our prayers, but because He is faithful and because He loves us, He answers our prayers. But what would your reaction be if God told you today, I'm not going to answer the one thing that you've been asking, I'm not going to answer? Would your response be, but Lord, your word says that you'll give us the desires of your heart, but your word says that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things will be added on? Why not? Why won't you? But you see, the difference between bold faith and childish faith is that even if God does not answer, I will still serve Him. I will not bow down to the other gods. And there are many people that they're still walking in the Christian faith just because they're getting everything that they've been asking. But what about the moment when God says, I'm not giving you that? Will that be the moment that you decide to turn back and you start worshiping the other gods? Or will that be the moment that you say, even though you don't give me that, even though you didn't heal my father or my mother, although you didn't do this, I'm still going to worship you? What will your attitude be? Will you take that attitude of a childish faith, or will you take the attitude of bold faith? Because it's bold faith that allows you to see the miracles of God. Now raise your hand if you've seen miracles. If you've witnessed miracles, or God has done miracles in your life, raise it high. I want to see. Look around. Everybody, look around. There are people around here that have seen miracles. You can put your hand down. But I'm not satisfied with the miracles that God did yesterday. I want to see more miracles. You want me to tell you why? Because when there are miracles happening, people who used to not believe now believe. But that takes bold faith. The first time I remember praying for the sick, I prayed like this: God, if it's your will, heal them. And by the end of the prayer, I said, God, if you don't want to heal them, then may your will be done. You want to know why? Because I was so arrogant and proudful. I was so prideful because I didn't want to be wrong. Because in my mind, I said, God, if I pray for healing and you don't heal them, then what are they going to say about me? I didn't say, what are they going to say about you? No, what are they going to say about me? So that's how I would pray. And you want to know how many people got healed? Zero. Nobody ever got healed. But then I learned to pray for the sick. And you pray in faith. Lord, I thank you because they're healed. Lord, I thank you because... And then I learned to speak to the body, speak to the sickness. I speak to the sickness and I curse it in Jesus' name. And I declare healing because your word says that by your stripes we're healed. So I started praying that way. You want to know how many people started getting saved? I started getting healed? A lot. And then that gave me more faith. But what did it take? It took bold faith. I remember the first time that I prayed for someone. I said, do you believe God can heal you? And they said, yeah. I was like, oh, Lord, listen to them, because, man, my faith is down here. I don't even know, but, hey, they believe you, so go off of them. Don't forgive me. Go off of them. So I remember I prayed. I said, well, this person doesn't know much about Jesus or the Bible or the church, so I'm going to pray. I said, I speak to the pain in Jesus' name. Be healed. And I speak to you in Jesus' name. Be healed by the power of your word, Lord. And then the next day they called. They said, you will not believe this. And they told me the whole testimony. I said, okay, I think this actually really works. But you have to have bold faith. Bold faith will take you to see things that you never thought you would see. I want to ask you a question tonight. Who is the God that you say you serve? Who's your God? What kind of God do you serve? Is he a God that can deliver you? Is he a God that's going to respond? Absolutely. There are people here that have been praying for things, and it's been months now, and you haven't seen a single thing. And you're starting to give up, and you're starting to lose hope. But I want to tell you, if you still keep believing, despite you not seeing anything or not feeling anything, you're going to see your prayers answered. One of the worst things that the enemy can do is play with your mind and say, you see that? You've been praying for 6 months. You see that? You used to be on fire for Jesus, but not anymore because you see everybody else and you start to give up little by little. And that's exactly how the devil works. That's why it's important to fill your spirit with scripture, because that's the only way you're going to fight. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't change their mind. So what he did is he threw them into the burning fiery furnace. And at the very end, verse 26, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declares, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. What ended up happening? What ended up happening was the following. Because they wouldn't worship his God that he had created, because they wouldn't do what everybody else was doing, because it's so easy to do what everybody else is doing. It's so easy to live life like everybody else is living. It's so easy to compare yourself with other people. With other people even within the church. Well, they're sinning, but I'm not sinning as bad. And when you compare yourself by yourself, you're doomed to hell. Because the standard of purity, the standard of holiness isn't you, it isn't me, it's Jesus. It's God himself. That's why the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, why? Because I am holy. It's not be holy because the person next to you is holy. No, they're gonna fail. They're human. We're all human. So the standard for holiness is God. And the Bible says, because they didn't give in, because they didn't do what everybody else was doing, what everybody else was worshiping, they got called out. I remember being in, I think it was middle school, and there was, anybody here know, familiar with Lil Wayne? I know you are, however he talks. I don't understand half the stuff. I got to read it with subtitles. But he was a little kid back then. I was in middle school, and he was with this group. It was called Cash Money Records. And so they had come out with this album. And everybody around me it was like the big thing. And I remember they asked me, they said, hey, man, you heard the album? Yeah. What album? What CD? It was CDs back then. You heard the CD? No, what are you talking about? Man, what you mean you ain't heard it? And so they started calling me out. They started making fun of me. And so me being the young kid that I was, and I wanted to fit in, I said, no, I haven't heard it, man. I haven't gotten a chance. I haven't told my parents to take me to, we had this store named Hastings, and they had movies and they had CDs. And I said, I haven't told my parents to take me to Hastings yet. I haven't had a chance. My dad just, he's just been so busy. And, you know, my mom works too. And so I haven't had a ride. They're like, oh, okay, we'll get it. And then one of my friends said, man, I'll let you borrow. And I was like, man, for real? I had no idea who they were talking about. Didn't know who this dude was. And I was like, man, for real? Like, yeah, have you heard the other album? The one, I was like, oh, yeah, the... Yeah, that one, yeah. I was like, yeah. Well, this one's even better. I was like, oh, okay, cool, man. So he let me borrow it, and I remember I took it. I hid it in my backpack, and then I got to the house. I remember when my mom picked me up, I got in, and she was like, how was school? How was all that? And I was like, man, it was good. I was so scared for my life. I said, if she goes through my backpack, and she sees this secular CD, boy, I'm getting grounded. I'm going to go to hell. Man, all these other things. So I remember I got to the house, and then I took the CD out, and I put it under my mattress, and I hid it there. And then I forgot all about it. And then my friend, the next day, he's like, hey, did you listen to it? And I was like, oh, nah, man. I was like, man, after my mom paid, I made up a lie. And then the next day comes, the following day, 2 days after, he's like, did you get to listen to it? I said, man, yeah, man, that thing is fire. Man, that was crazy. We didn't say fire. I think we used to say tight. That thing is tight. It was the bomb. That's what we used to say. Man, it was the bomb. Like, for real, right? You know, I was like, yeah. All right, can you bring it tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then me, you know, being a big kid and, you know, throwing myself on the bed, I accidentally cracked it. So I took it back, I gave it to him, and I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to throw it in your backpack. All right, cool. And then he came back, and he wanted me to buy him another one, and I just made up another lie. I was like, nah, man, nothing happened. Put it in your backpack. I don't know. It must have been you. He's like, man, probably. He was a really nice guy. May God bless him. But I share this story for the following reason, and it's because at some point, you're going to be tempted with wanting to be like the world and do what the world does. And the world, I'll tell you something, gives up. The world gives up so easily. That's why the world doesn't follow Jesus. And because the world gives up, you see so much inconsistency. And that's happened to all of us at some point. You want to be like the world. But there is a great reward when you decide to stand for God. And this is what ends up happening at the very end. So King Nebuchadnezzar saw that when he threw them into the fiery furnace was so hot that even the people that were throwing these three young men in there, they died because of the heat and the fire. And the Bible says that when King Nebuchadnezzar peeked to look, he didn't see three people. He saw four people. He said, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The original translation, it says the fourth one looked like one of the sons of one of the gods, because this man was not a Christian, but he knew a divine being when he saw one. And because of that, he calls them out. He says, bring them out. He said, come out. And when they came out, the Bible says they didn't smell like smoke. There was not a single hair that was burnt off of them. There was nothing. They had their clothes just the same way. And this is the response that King Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. And what ends up happening is after this, the king says, nobody can talk bad about their God. Anybody who talks bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will die. They will face consequences. But why does this happen? Why all of a sudden the change? The change came about because there was three young men who had bold faith. And they said, we're not going to do what the world does. And we're not going to give in. And we're going to serve our God because our God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods. And as a result, God honored that faith. I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have faith that's so easy to give up? That's childish faith. And that's not going to get you anywhere. I want to tell you something. In this life, you'll have many troubles. Jesus said it. But Jesus already overcame this world. And yes, it's tired. You may be getting tired. It's true. You may get tired of walking this faith. You may get tired of coming to church and praying and keep believing and saying, Lord, I believe, even though I don't see it. I've been believing for 3 months and you get tired. But I want to tell you something. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, do not grow tired of doing what's good. Because if you hold on, if you keep believing, if you keep pushing, the Bible says in due time, you will reap a harvest. Only the people that persevere in this life will see a harvest. Only the people that persevere in this walk with God will see a reward in heaven. How many people, I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be such a surprise. Because the people we thought that were supposed to make it won't make it. Because just because you're coming to church doesn't mean that you're persevering. Perseverance begins at home, in the quiet place. When you close the door and you spend time with Jesus and you say, I don't even want to pray. I don't want to talk to you much, God, but I'm here because I know I have to and I need to because you're the only one that's going to get me through in this life. You're the only one that's going to get me through this depression. You're the only one that can heal my heart. You're the only one that can come through in my family. And when you start talking to God with boldness, then you're going to see that God responds to you with bold miracles as well. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. It's towards the end. I'm almost done. So don't worry. Hebrews. Anybody got it? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation just because I like it a lot better. It says like this. I'm glad I took a screenshot of it. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. In other words, to the promise. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Galatians 6:9 tells us to not give up and not grow tired. Why does the Apostle Paul say, don't grow weary, don't grow tired? I'll tell you why. Because this walk of faith is tiring. Not everyone can walk it. That's why you'll see your friends, many people in your family, they used to be Christians. We used to go to church. And many of the people that used to go to church always have something negative to say about the church. And you know why I don't listen to those people? I'll tell you why. Because at some point they gave up. Man, you a quitter. Why'd you give up? Oh, no, just the pastor, man. He just, you know, they're getting all this money and then, you know, and they come up with all these things. And they quit. But the Bible says, don't get tired of doing what's good. In other words, don't get tired of believing. Don't get tired of praying. And I want to tell you something. That when it gets the hardest and when it gets the toughest, that's the moment you should be filled with joy because it's almost over. It's almost over. And then comes a season of joy. Then comes a moment of peace in the presence of God. Any moment, any time that your life has a moment of difficulty, like the Bible says, take heart. In other words, be joyful. Something good's about to happen. And I don't want to use this example, but it's a good example. But it's terrible. I always talk about it. I'm like, man, these are terrible examples. Because everybody's talked about it. People have talked about it since I was a kid. But do you know how diamonds are formed? Under pressure. And I'm not saying you're a diamond because you're clearly Mexican. But there's something special and beautiful inside of you. Salvadorian, I'm sorry, hermana Emily. But there's something beautiful and something special inside of you. And if that is to come to light, that is to come to the surface, the only way that'll happen is through pressure. And the pressures of this life will either make you quit or they will make the most bold Christian that this world has ever seen. And that's up to you. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of son and daughter of God do you want to be? Do you want to be remembered as the one that quit? Or do you want to be remembered as the one that fell but got back up? And the Bible says in Proverbs, the righteous person falls 7 times. But 7 times he gets back up. You know what the problem is? I'll tell you what the problem is with many people that fall. Is that they expect God to pick them back up. And the Bible says that the righteous man falls and he gets back up. It's up to you. God already did the difficult part. So if you have failed God, if you have fallen, if you've gotten tired, I want to encourage you for today that let today be the day that changes everything in your life. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet. Ariel, can you get on the piano?
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.